Good morning and welcome to each one. Thank you all for coming out this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. Is that your testimony this morning? Thy truth unchanged hath ever stood. Thou savest those that on thee call. To them that seek thee, thou art good. To them that find thee, all in all. I can testify to that this morning. And we would like to look this morning at someone else in Scripture who I believe had a change of heart and went from a cruel and ungodly man to someone who Christ chose to come through. Their lineage. The title this morning is Why Judah? Or more exactly, why did Christ come from the tribe of Judah? You can turn to Genesis 37, and we will get there eventually. To us, perhaps not so much, but to the Jewish mind, the lineage of the Messiah was of great importance. Because if the Messiah did not come through the correct lineage, the promises of God could not be fulfilled. And I believe we are all well versed in how the blessing of God started with Abraham. I will quickly give us a refresher on that. God chose Abraham and told him that all nations of the earth would be blessed through his offspring. Even though Abraham had no children, and he and Sarah were old. But Abraham believed God. For all the times that Abraham did not believe God, all the times he chose deceit instead of truth, all the times he chose to fear instead of believe, on this point, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. We thank God this morning that he counts our faith and not our fears. Abraham then had a son named Ishmael, whom God did not sanction, and also a son named Isaac, who God had promised. And God chose Isaac to be the one through whom he would continue the promises to Abraham, despite Ishmael being the older one. And this is a relevant point to this very day, because the religion of Islam is the second largest religion in the world, and they believe the blessing of God passed to Ishmael, not to Isaac. And we, of course, agree with the Jew on this one, that the blessing of God came from Abraham to Isaac. And then we come to Jacob and Esau. Esau is the oldest, and the one through whom the blessing should have come, but he sells his birthright for a bowl of soup, the most expensive meal ever purchased. And so the blessing passes to Jacob. So now we have three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I think we're very well familiar with those three, and we've heard messages on all these three. But how does it continue? We know that Jesus came through the line of Judah, the tribe of Judah, David's tribe, the tribe of the kings. But why? He wasn't the firstborn son of Jacob. He was actually the fourth. And he wasn't the firstborn of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. That was Joseph. So why didn't the line of blessing come? So why did it come through Judah and not through Reuben, Simeon, or Levi, Judah's three older brothers? How did Judah end up with the blessing? I only recently discovered this, and I found it to be interesting, so I thought I would share it with you this morning. And hopefully, you can be blessed as I was. The answer is that Reuben and Simeon and Levi were disqualified. They all committed acts that caused the blessing of God to pass over them. And we read a summary of that in Genesis 49, where Jacob is blessing his sons, although some of the blessings are, I'm not sure if they are blessings. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the firstfruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul not come into their counsel. O my glory, be not joined to their company, for in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So they were disqualified for wrongdoing. So you might be thinking, that means Judah didn't do wrong. But that was not the case, at least not initially. And so we finally get to Genesis 37. And here we find the story of Joseph. And we know the story of Joseph as he's a man of purity and wisdom and a young man who trusts God. And it's made him an icon to us to this day, of a type of Christ. In fact, he joins a very short list of men in Scripture that nothing negative is said about them. And he becomes probably the best example of a type of Christ to us today. Meanwhile, his brother Judah is not that. In fact, Judah is the Hebrew name for Judas. And there are a number of parallels between Judah and Judas. But their end was different. So Genesis 37, I just want to point out the one verse here, because this is where we get a start to Judah. And this is where his brothers have, him and his brothers have thrown Joseph into the pit, and they are probably going to kill him. And along come some Ishmaelites, and in verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Judas did something very similar to that many years later. Chapter 39 continues right where chapter 37 leaves off. It's a continuation of the story of Joseph. But there's another chapter inserted right into the story, and that is the story of Judah. And there is significance in this story's placement. We don't have time to get into that this morning. But here is a story so disgusting and so troubling that I wouldn't blame you for questioning why it's in the Word of God. And yet, here it is in all its gory detail. And I think it's here to tell us the story of Judah and how he became the one through which Christ would come. So to save us time and to save us from having to hear this story, I'll just give you the highlights. So Judah is a man of action, and he only cares what others can do for him. He has three sons. God kills the first two for wrongdoing. But Judah doesn't know God is involved, and he thinks it's Tamar's fault that they died. And so, though he promises her his third son because it was the right thing to do, he has no intention of fulfilling his promise. When Tamar realizes she has been lied to, she disguises herself and pretends to be a prostitute. She is able to attract Judah's attention and becomes pregnant with his child. When Judah hears his daughter-in-law is with child, he calls for her to be burnt because she has been unfaithful in waiting for his son, only to then discover that he is the father. And this is where we begin to see a change in Judah. He admits wrong and says, she is more righteous than I. And there's a whole lot more to be taken from this chapter, and I've really enjoyed studying it. If you're interested, talk to me later and I'll give you a detailed study I was reading by a German scholar on this chapter. But this is not the end of the story. I don't believe the lineage of Christ would have come through Judah if that's where the story ended. We come to Genesis 43. We know this story. There's a famine. Jacob sends his boys to Egypt for corn. Joseph is the ruler. He tests his brothers and asks for them to bring their youngest brother. Of course, this is devastating to Jacob because he's already lost Joseph. Reuben tells Jacob, when they get back, I'll bring Benjamin back to you. Let me be in charge of him. I'll bring him back, and if I don't bring him back, you can kill my two sons. What a terrible solution. Kill my sons who have nothing to do with it. And Jacob doesn't agree to that. Verse 8 of chapter 43, listen to this. Then Judah says to his father that he will be responsible. Genesis 43, 8 and 9. And Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. That does not sound like the same person of just a few chapters ago. Well, let's read on. In breaking into chapter 44 and verse 12, this is the brothers are there. Joseph has put the money back into their sacks. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. Notice, and Judah and his brethren, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, not Reuben, the oldest, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant. Skipping down to verse 29. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring, this is Jacob speaking, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come to my father? What a change in Judah. This is the man who sold his brother into slavery. He doesn't care for those around him. He wouldn't stand good for his promises, and he got his daughter-in-law pregnant. And now he is willing to bear the blame forever. He becomes the mediator between Joseph and his father, and he is willing to be a slave so that Benjamin can go free. Somewhere in there, God worked a change in the life of Judah to the point that we see a type of Christ. He, like Christ, was willing to bear the blame. He, like Christ, was willing to sacrifice his life for the sake of another. And by this, he inherited the line of blessing through which Christ came, by which the whole world was blessed. I find that to be encouraging for me this morning. Genesis 49, 8 to 10. This is Jacob giving a blessing to Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And the rest of that is a prophecy of Christ. And we have in Revelations, I didn't write the chapter down, we have, don't weep, John, behold, a lion from the tribe of Judah is able to open the seals. So, two takeaways for me this morning, for us perhaps. First, it's not where we start, it's where we finish that counts. And secondly, God isn't looking for the firstborn to bless or the one who appears to do no wrong. He's looking for the man and the woman who, like Judah, humble themselves, acknowledge their wrongdoing, repent, and sacrifice their lives for others. God bless you.